From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov.
And I'm Annette John Hall.
You know, one of the things I've really loved about growing up in Philadelphia and living here is being around Fairmount Park.
And one of the things I learned, Shai, is that Fairmount Park is the biggest urban park in the country. And that's what makes this story a little surprising.
Yeah, as green as Philadelphia is, it's not green everywhere.
There are about 111,000 trees in Philadelphia. And when you put them all on a map, like WHYY's Plan Philly did, you can't help but notice something.
There are way more trees in wealthy neighborhoods than lower income ones.
Why aren't Philadelphia streets equally green? And what are city officials trying to do about it?
Today on The Why, growing shade.
We spoke to Plan Philly reporter Catalina Jaramillo, who's been covering this issue.
I think of Philadelphia as a very green city in some areas, but there are some neighborhoods that really have almost no trees, right?
Yeah, that's right. Like some areas of Chinatown or South Philly or North Philly have only a 3% of tree canopy, which is very different from other areas that have 80% of tree canopy. Those are like near the Wissahickon in Northwest Philly or Pennypack Park in the Northeast. So when my colleague Ryan Briggs put the trees that we have in Philadelphia on a map, he realized that we had a lot of trees in areas where high-income residents or more educated and fewer trees where there were poorer neighborhoods. You see areas like near Fairmount where they you see like a solid green.
It's like a solid block of green.
Right, and then you see areas like Strawberry Mansion where it's like one little dot, green dot.
Right, so they have no tree cover really.
Right.
Is there kind of more of a reason that it matters that a neighborhood has trees other than kind of just aesthetics?
Yes, when you have more trees, the neighborhood is cooler. And it's more adaptable to the effects of extreme weather, like we're seeing more and more. Trees help with the heat island effect, which is this thing where like cities get hotter than areas that are surrounded by green or vegetation. Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of concrete and they trap the heat, things like that.
Exactly. So the trees help providing shadow and also absorbing more heat. We're seeing a future of Philadelphia that's going to be hotter and wetter. Trees also help prevent floods and flash floods that we are seeing a lot more recently, if you realize all these alerts we're getting more and more.
Yeah. Well, and I would imagine, Catalina, that this lack of trees does not help residents in low-income neighborhoods who a lot of them don't have air conditioning.
That's right. There's a disparity not only in this tree canopy, but also, like, you know, resources. So some neighborhoods that are also the hottest neighborhoods have less access to this recreation and cooling centers. So, for example, libraries, which have air conditioning going all the time, Hunting Park, which is one of the hottest neighborhoods of the city, don't have any of these cooling centers. So people like who are older people or pregnant or people who are propensely sick and need air conditioners have to walk further to get there. Mm. So on top of that, you don't have trees in that area. It makes it more dangerous, and heat is dangerous. Like, we had 3 people dying of heat last year.
Well, so we've identified this disparity between, you know, wealthier and lower-income neighborhoods in terms of how many trees they have. Do we have any idea why this is, like, why there are fewer trees in poorer neighborhoods?
That's a difficult question. I spoke with David Ortiz from the Hispanic community organization Esperanza. They've been planting a lot of trees in Hunting Park. And one of his theories is that a lot of lower income neighborhoods were industrial areas in the past.
A lot of the poorer neighborhoods originally were founded basically economically with the factories close by and then a lot of worker housing surrounding the factory. So there wasn't much attention given to the streetscape.
So that's why they have less trees. But at the same time, the city is planting more trees in wealthier areas.
My name is Erica Smith Fitchman.
I spoke with Erica Smith Fitchman, who managed Tree Philly, which is their city organization or city agency that gives away trees.
They'll come and plant trees on your block if you ask them to?
Yeah, street trees and yard trees. And they are aware that there are more trees in wealthier areas than on poorer areas.
Yes, definitely. I'm definitely aware that there are often more trees in higher income areas.
And that's because to get a free tree, you have to apply for it. Most of the people applying is people that come from wealthier neighborhoods.
Why is that?
Because to apply for a tree, you have to know that this program exists.
Yeah, I guess so.
And a lot of people don't know about this free program. For example, I was mentioning Hunting Park. The city recently found that 60% of the people there wanted more trees, but only 6% of the Hispanics and 20% of the English-speaking people knew about these programs. I spoke with Jaisling Blank.
And I'm one of the co-founders of Philly Tree People,
who plants trees in Kensington and Fishtown for the last 13 years. And she was not surprised by this.
They do have values and concerns about their neighborhood. They do care about the environment. They just don't know how. And they're not being provided with the services that they need in order to make that impact.
And then also you have to consider that lower income neighborhoods and communities of colors and immigrants have other kind of barriers to access to this program. So language, right? A recent study by the Pew Center said that in 2016, nearly 15% of all the city residents were born abroad. And many of them just don't speak English. So if all the information coming from the city is in English, it's hard for these people to know of these programs. And then for the city to plant a tree in front of a house, they have to have the permission of the owner. Mm-hmm. So it's the owner who has to ask for this tree. And then in a lot of these lower income neighborhoods, there's a lot of renters, and there's also a lot of houses where like the landlords are like nowhere to be found. So right. It's very mm-hmm. difficult for those people to get a tree in front of their house, even if they want it.
This is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov.
And I'm Annette John Hall. We're talking to Plan Philly reporter Catalina Jaramillo about the lack of trees in some Philadelphia neighborhoods.
So, Catalina, you wrote this story along with Ryan Briggs. What kind of response did you get after it published?
We got a lot of feedback from the story, and we heard from a lot of people that didn't want trees in front of their houses. And not because they don't like trees, but because they can be problematic.
To put a tree in front of my house would be beautiful, but it becomes an issue once the tree is fully grown and then the roots are growing out of, you know, whacked, and then the concrete is getting lifted up.
Angel Santiago, he said that he loved trees.
You know, trees, you know, they could just add beauty to the neighborhood. You know, make it seem like a neighborhood, you know, with the birds and whatever comes along with having trees, you know.
And he was talking about this tree that it's next to his house, planted on an empty slot, and how it provides shade to his house. But he doesn't want a tree in front of his house.
That's the dilemma I guess most people are faced with, you know, when it comes to trees being in front of their properties, causing damage, and then who's going to cover it? And then, you know, if you touch the tree, you know, you're wrong because the tree doesn't belong to you, you know, so.
And you see a lot of, like, roots breaking sidewalks.
Yeah.
And if you're walking or you're biking, you see them all around the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, one of the neighborhoods you mentioned is around Wissahickon Park, and there are just really old, really huge trees breaking up the sidewalk in that neighborhood. So, I mean, they do have a little bit of a point, right?
They totally have a point. And it's not only that they're breaking these things, it's that they are responsible for that.
Is there a way to have trees that don't do damage to sidewalks and our infrastructure?
Totally. So there are certain species that are more proper than others to be in a city. Like, also, like, the city has been changing the way that they do the pit, the hole in the cement.
Right.
Before it was like square and small, now it's bigger. So the tree has more space for the roots to
mm-hmm.
grow. And they choose also trees that have roots that don't grow that big.
Mm-hmm.
There's more studies, so there's more selection of what's the best tree to plant. Erica Smith Fitchman from the city says they're now planting differently, so the damage is less of an issue now.
Now we're learning that Zelkova, that we thought was kind of like this new great tree 50 years ago, has some really bad surface roots, and so we're not planting that in smaller planting areas.
So, Catalina, is the city doing anything other than planting different types of trees? I mean, are they trying to plant trees in neighborhoods that don't have any trees?
Yes, they are. The city's goal is to get to a 30% tree canopy by 2025. How is the good question, of course. One of the things they're doing is a strategic plan to talk with everyone and see what things they could be doing better, because the things they are doing seems not to be working. So one of the things could be like, what if having a tree is not upon request?
Right.
What if the city
that
just
comes?
That
seems like the biggest problem.
What if the city just comes and plants trees without having to ask the owner? Also, like, we have to say that this is also a problem of budget. They don't have a lot of budget, and they are only able to plant about 500 to 1,000 trees a year. And that's very little. Like, that's about the number that just, like, one neighborhood needs to get to this goal of 30%.
So one neighborhood would need about 700 to 1,000 trees to get us closer to that goal of 30%. And right. We need to do that in many neighborhoods across the city.
Right. So there needs to be more funding for this. Another thing that is very important is for the city to partner with community organizations.
We appreciate and realize that there are a lot of barriers to getting trees planted. And one of them is that you do need more community organizing and advocacy in lower canopy neighborhoods.
You need the buy-in from people. Because also, like, it's not only about planting trees, it's also about caring for them.
So, Catalina, now that you've delved into the reasons why some people have trees and some people don't, and, you know, there needs to be more awareness and all these other things, what's your takeaway from this story?
I think then what the city needs to do is team up with community organizations and do more education and try to let people know about the benefits of having trees and how important they are, especially now with climate change and this extreme heat and rain, and how trees are going to help. So it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of the strategic plan that the city is doing and what the city ends up doing to increase the number of trees everywhere, but especially in lower income neighborhoods.
So, Catalina, thanks as always for coming in.
Thank you.
Catalina Jaramillo is a reporter for WHYY's Plan Philly. The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yakov.
And me, Annette John Hall.
Along with Alex Stern, and with editorial direction from Katie Culinary.
We had editing help on this episode from Ariella Cohen.
Send us a tweet at Shai Ben-Yakov.
Or at Annette J.H.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.